What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 64 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Rob, it's a good day. It's a good week. Bob did it, bro. He freaking did it.
It is a good week. It is a good day. Yesterday was a great day for Australia. Feels right to see Volk with that strap around him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the universe is back in order, right?
Yeah. I like Diego Lopez. I think he's a cool dude. I wish somehow both of them could have won, but I was still very glad to see Volk get the job done, especially because, and we'll get into this, he's old, people are saying he's washed, et cetera, et cetera. You talked about this in the last episode and he proved everybody wrong. Oh, it felt so satisfying.
And that's exactly how our predictions went, because I said, like, Volk, prior to the last two fights, untouchable, ran that division, probably the best ever in that division, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the Volk we saw on the weekend. Diego was coming in hot. We were worried about, you know, how Volk was coming back, what Volk we were going to see, you know, put all doubts to rest. Like, it was exactly the Volk that we knew he could be.
Yeah.
You know, that's Volk. That's the skill set he provides. And honestly, with Diego, it you saw the level difference. That's the Volk 100%. That beat Max Holloway three times. That's the one that ruled that division. It was so good to see. But I guess we may as well just get straight into 3-4. Well,
we may as well. So if you are new, like, usually episodes like this after a big card get a lot of new viewers. So if you are new to the channel, to the podcast, please do like, subscribe. It really, really does help. But as mentioned, let's do our breakdown of UFC 314 in the main event. Volkanovski beats Diego Lopez. I always have here decisions Diego Lopez, but that was true. Unanimous decision. 48-47 and 249-46s. Rob, what's your breakdown of the fight?
So I think, for one, Volk's jab and distance was out of control. Like, he was jabbing Diego's head off. Oh, props to Diego. He's got a head on.
He's got a head of granite. Like, Jesus, man.
Dude, he's got chin to spare. Like, the guy was just eating shots.
Yeah.
But Volk did such a good job at just peppering him with that jab, keeping him at arm's reach and moving. He was moving so light on his feet, utilizing the leg kicks, and it just to great effect. It set up everything else. You know, he was moving, he was jabbing, he was moving, he was jabbing, so that when he went in, he started those exchanges. And I feel that the exchanges that Volk would start, you know, it was his greatest strength in that fight as well as his weakness, okay? Because every time he would clash and engage in that like tight slugfest brawl, he would come over the top of the right hand almost every time. He'd lead with the jab, come over the right hand, swim under, hook, and come in with the left hook, and then et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And it was working to great success. He did so much damage to Diego. So, again, props to Diego's head, because he ate some huge shots from Volk in those exchanges. But I'm telling you, it was so much closer than I think the average fan saw, because that was the only point Volk was in danger. Oh, not the only point, but it was also like such a fine line between disaster from disaster, because you could see what Diego wanted to do. You could see he wanted to engage. He wanted to uppercut him. He was throwing that shot out there, but it was like a fraction of a fraction second off.
Yeah.
Every time. And Volk's shots were landing. He was missing him by hairs every time. And it was such a, like I said, it was so effective from Volk, but also the greatest hole I could see in those exchanges.
I had a lot of nervous energy during those moments. And obviously it comes with the history and the context of him coming off of two pretty bad KO losses, right? That was a big question. Does Volk still have his chin? There were two big moments, and there were a few others as well, but the two really big moments was at the end of the second, where he gets dropped, and then in the fourth, where he gets smacked in the eye, and he genuinely lost eyesight, and that slowly regained as he went into the fifth round. That is when I had my heart in my hands and thought, oh no, it's going to happen. I saw so many memes and TikToks and reels of people saying how nervous they were for this fight, but it was moments like that that got us on edge. And I wanted to bring this up with you, because people, and I call them haters, I don't know what you want to call them, they're annoying me, but there are people saying that Volk at times in this fight was running away. But like, What did you want him to do? To stand there and bang with Diego Lopez? Like, he gets dropped in the second. He gets hit badly in the fourth. He needed to keep his distance. He needed to keep moving away. He would have been stupid to engage with Diego in the pocket consistently like that. He, in my opinion, fought the perfect fight. What do you feel about that backlash? Because I got really annoyed by it. Like, people wanted Volk just to be an idiot and just to stand and bang with Diego when he was winning the fight. It just didn't make sense. What do you reckon?
Honestly, I think it has no grounds. Absolutely no grounds. Because it's not like Volk wasn't engaging.
I know.
You know, he was utilizing that jab, keeping the distance, moving away. Yeah. But then he was coming in and it's like three-piece combo slugging it out. Like that, yes. And they were the moments, like, you had your fist in your mouth a bit because you were just so on edge. That were the moments Diego's built for. He loves that sort of fight.
Yeah.
And Diego's like a Terminator, mate. He wasn't stopping. He had power from the start to the fifth. Mm. He's such a dangerous striker. He's bashed everybody else. Yeah. Okay. Volk fought an excellent game. An excellent game.
Yeah. I think it really does goes to show that the skill level between Volk and Lopez, like, is night and day. And if this was a few years prior, if this was the Volk that fought Max Holloway, for instance, it definitely wouldn't have been as close as it was. I wanted to ask you this, though, and I'm don't get me wrong, I'm really glad to see Volk back, right? And I would love for him to go on another title run. I would love for him to fight Movsar next, and we'll talk about that next. But there were times where you could tell he was a little slower. He was a little slower than normal. That's why he was trying to utilize the footwork, fight at range, utilize the jab way more. Even he shot a lot of takedowns as well just to keep Diego guessing, even though he didn't secure many of them. Did you see that in Volk's, you know, fight and just the way that how quick he was and the way that he was moving? He wasn't exactly prime Volk, but he was still better than Diego. Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, I think I can brush over a lot of that. He came off two knockout losses.
Sure.
That is, I cannot express to anyone how hard it is to come back from a knockout loss, let alone two. Okay? Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And all the doubters that you see online is like his age, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mate, you think he's not thinking of that? You think for that sure. doesn't run through his head like maybe I am too old. maybe I am gotten some. You know, and that's why I think he's like, honestly, it was an inspiring fight because he's obviously still the best featherweight to do it.
Yep.
In my opinion. And I think he to fight that fight against a guy that has such momentum and aggressiveness and power behind his hands.
Yeah.
After two knockout losses, you know, and to hold it together for that fight, to push out the doubts, to do what he did and to walk away with the strap, it's super remarkable.
Yeah.
Super outstanding.
And you touched on it before, like the people that were criticizing him for quote unquote running away. I've been very critical of fighters in the past that all they do is jab and teep and that's all they do. That's not what Volk was doing. Like, as you said, Rob, in the pocket, he was always utilizing the three-piece combos, smacking Lopez with those huge right overhands. He wasn't just jabbing and walking away. Like, there's no way he would have won that fight if that was the case, because then the rounds would have been closer and then Diego's bigger shots would have given him the dub. I don't understand how people watch that fight and come away with that impression. It's crazy to me. It's actually insane, you know?
Volk's lateral movement was on point.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, when he got caught at the end of the second and his coach came over and told him, don't go straight backwards. And he implemented that instantly. His fight IQ is next level. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just see the experience that he has once he's in the octagon. He is such – he's such a good fighter. Like, he's one of the best to ever do it. You know, and I'm a proud countryman behind him, right?
Very. Like, I was playing Land Down Under for the past 24 hours.
It's such a good fight. I will say, though, I think Volk could have made an easier fight if he took Diego Lopez down more. I think Volk has the best ground and pound in the UFC.
Yeah. That first round, man, was brutal for him. That was a masterclass.
Mate, his ground and pound is so good.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
I will say this, though. That's credit to Lopez, because Lopez's takedown defense was really, really good. If there was obviously any slight on Lopez's performance, we focus on that. He seemed I guess, a little bit more tentative than his previous fights, and maybe because this was five rounds, maybe because he was up against Volkanovski, maybe nerves. I don't know what it was.
Title shot, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you were touching on it before. I want to ask you the question straight out. Do you now think that Volk is the greatest featherweight of all time above Jose Aldo?
Oh, definitely above Aldo, without a doubt. Like, that wasn't – like, the problem with Volk right now – it's not a problem with Volk. The problem that Volk has, I should say, is that there's always that question now. You know, it's the same thing that happened to Cormier. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, Ilya beat Volk, left the division. Now there's always – and it doesn't tarnish anything, doesn't take away anything. No. But all the fans, like, and MMA fans, you guys are slack sometimes. Like, all the fans that when Volk lost, jumped ship – they're the same ones, like, yelling from the side of Ilya's ship, just saying how good's Ilya. Like, obviously, how good is Ilya? Like, for Volk just to get straight back in there and start beating people up again. But, that little dichotomy is just annoying for Volk right now.
I agree.
I still think Volk's the best featherweight to do it, like, regardless of losing to Poirier, just for the amount of work he's done.
Yeah.
Right? But is what it is.
But, you know, greatest of all time is not just about single wins. It's about longevity. It's about the string of title defenses. And when you compare him, Volk is I think he's one title defense behind Aldo in terms of all time. But obviously, I wouldn't say that there's a question mark over it. I reckon he is the greatest featherweight of all time. We do get biased here, but how do you not watch that performance, watch what he says afterwards, and not come away impressed?
It's hard. We are biased.
But all the time.
Volk's one of the best to do it.
Yeah.
And his skill set speaks for itself. And I don't think we're arguing with that many people.
No. I saw a string of people say, I saw people say that Lopez got robbed and I got physically upset. Like, just shut up. But the question that I had for you now is obviously Volk's next opponent. Who do you think it should be? We have Movsar Evgeniev, undefeated, has beaten the likes of Diego Lopez when he made his debut, just came off as a solid win, close win, but solid win off of Aljamain Sterling. Do you think it should be him? Do you think Yair is now in the mix after he just beat Pitbull? What do you reckon?
Hard to say. Very hard to say. That division's a bit funny at the moment, isn't it? With Teporia leaving.
And Holloway leaving too?
Yeah. Like, and Volk's fought a lot of those. It has to be Movsar.
It has to be like
there's no one else.
And he's proven himself as well. And obviously, Volk's already beaten Yair. And I don't think one win. I think before that, Yair lost to Ortega from memory. So, like, I don't see how the UFC justifies not putting Movsar in there. Maybe he's not the most exciting, but he's more than earned it at this stage, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But Diego Lopez, Yair Rodriguez, bit of beef there. That's absolutely the next fight to make between them. Definitely. Did you see them going off at each other, by the way?
In the press conference? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love seeing all the memes that pop up with, like, somebody putting up the wrong subtitles. it's like, I wish you nothing but health, my friend.
And I saw that one.
Like, yelling at each other, swearing at each other. And it's like, I really wish you the best in this fight. I hope you come out unhurt and your family's good. And it's so trolly because it doesn't say it's a troll. They just put it up. It's so good.
And then you have people in the comments like, hold on, is that what was actually said?
Hold on. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
They do seem like, it's weird because, like, a week prior, I saw a photo with them smiling with each other and then something happened. So now they have legitimate beef. They need to fight it out. I don't think Yair's earned that title shot yet. He needs one more win. But Volk, man, I'm just happy, man. I think all is right in the MMA world with Volk as champion again. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So let us know what you thought about the fight in the comments below. But in the co-main event, I just want to say, by the way, 5 out of 5 for predictions in this main card. I was on point, and I was right about this one too. Wasn't right about the submission, but I was right about how good Paddy Pimblett was. He TKOs Michael Chandler in convincing fashion. What do you think, man?
Mate, Paddy's outstanding. Yeah. I've been on his bandwagon since he came back.
Yep.
From, like, he never left, but you know what I'm talking about.
He had that dip
from grace.
Yeah.
Right? since then, since he switched on and he started just putting a beating on people, and he stopped mucking around as much. I just love seeing what he's doing. And you can see that the harder the competition, the more you're getting out of Paddy. Yeah. And there is no doubt in my mind that that wasn't the best version of Chandler we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Chandler that looked like he's sick of getting hit. He's sick of the work that it takes to get there. He's a little gun shy because he doesn't want to. You know what I mean? He looks like he's kind of over it. That's the vibe I got from him in that fight.
Yeah,
and there is no one to make you over it as as well as Paddy, because mm-hmm. he was making Chandler pay for every step he took. When he would move forward, he would piece him up. When he move away, he would piece him up. Like it was,
yeah, man.
It was so impressive, so impressive. Because regardless of the version of Chandler you get, he is still so dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to like discredit Paddy's win by saying, oh, Chandler is older, he wasn't there, whatever. Like Chandler is a solid fighter. Maybe his record in the UFC doesn't exactly meet that, but he's fought some killers in the division. We know that, right? But I was so bloody impressed with Paddy. Especially because of his striking. Like, that's always been the, I guess, the one negative of his fight game. But he kept catching Chandler as he was coming in. His jumping kicks were awesome. The knee that he landed as Chandler went in for the takedown, man, mm-hmm. was freaking nasty, dude. I genuinely thought that he could have finished that fight by submission if he wanted to. But then he goes with the grounded pound. His grounded pound's pretty brutal as well.
Mate, he just had such control over Chandler. And, you know, yeah. Chandler's an explosive, strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
Paddy was all over him. And you know what's funny? Chandler's like known for being that like sort of strong built nugget.
Yeah.
Paddy looked huge.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah.
He looked like he dude, Chandler got manhandled.
Yeah. Like, yep.
And he impressed the heck out of me. And I'm so pumped to see where, because you saw the end of the fight. The end of the fight, he didn't even look like he had taken damage.
No.
You know what
he
I mean?
He looked fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and everything he was doing to Chandler was hurting him. Those calf kicks at the beginning, those leg kicks were hurting him. The reactions and the reads he was getting out of that was crazy.
Yeah.
Every time Paddy would hit Chandler, Chandler would be backing up. It's it was so surprising to see.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for the future. You know, all those guys he called out straight afterwards. Unreal. I like it. I want to see him fight Armin.
So I was going to ask you, of those four names, Armin, Justin, Dustin, or Charles, he seems to be leaning more towards Charles Oliveira.
I want to see him fight Armin.
Yeah.
So I know
they're
going
back
Oliveira.
And forth too.
I think Oliveira's a good fight for him.
Yeah.
Better fight True. Than Armin.
Yeah.
I want to see Armin. I loved how he called him a helmet. I'm so for that fight, dude. I want to. And I think Armin's the right decision, because especially if you're like to fight against Makhachev, you need to be working against somebody like it's such a good segue into fighting Makhachev, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And honestly, beating Armin gets him that fight with Makhachev. Like he's potentially one fight away from fighting for the title.
I think he could be one fight away, but as we've said many times, this division is in such a weird place. Like, you also have, you know, Charles Oliveira, who just beat Chandler in less convincing fashion, but it was actually pretty dominating for four of the rounds. So, like, how do you – if I was to look at it purely from – I was going to say fairness and meritocracy, but also Armin is still number one contender. He should probably be in there. I actually don't know how you deal with that division right now. Genuinely, I don't.
You make Armin fight Paddy. I want that fight.
So Armin and Paddy, but what does Charles Oliveira do? Justin, maybe? Yeah, okay. Justin, why not?
Yeah, could do. I'd throw him in there for a title shot. Why not? I love seeing Oliveira fight titles.
I do as well, but
you
know, I think
you could go Armin, Islam, Poirier, Pimblett. Like, you could. That seems like a pretty straightforward progression.
But Max Holloway's in there as well.
Yeah, but
it's weird. It's hard, this division, man.
Because Max has only beaten Justin, right?
but in pretty dominating fashion.
It was very good fashion. That's one fight at lightweight. And it's not like he came over as champion.
Yeah.
Granted, like, it's still Max Holloway, but
mm-hmm.
like there's just names at a fight. You know, like, he lost to Poirier at lightweight. Granted, I know circumstances, but
yeah,
there's arguing points there. And if there's arguing points, generally it doesn't get you a title shot, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Look, if I was to summarize it, I reckon Islam, there was a rumor going around that Islam is actually waiting for the welterweight division to figure itself out. I don't know whether that's true because his manager said it was fake news, but I'm sure he has one eye on that division, on the JDM and Bilal fight. Yeah. That might dictate things here. But I do think that if they're not going to give Armin the shot, fight someone like Paddy or do the rematch with Charles. I reckon Max Holloway against Dustin would be very good. And then Justin can fight someone else as well. It's such a hard division, man. Let us know in the comments below, by the way, what you think of it. But we gotta move on. We got a lot of fights to cover in this one.
We have to.
Yeah. Yair Rodriguez versus Patricio Pitbull. He beats him by unanimous decision. What do you reckon, bro?
I thought that was a pretty handed, like, it was like a, you either get that Yair or you get the Yair that fought Ortega. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the Yair that just kind of just puts in that work, keeps him at distance the whole time, utilizes leg kicks to just pepper, like, his opponent the entire way through.
Yeah.
And then coast into an easy decision win or stoppage.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a Yair that starts to first get some adversity, starts getting hit, gets tired, and gives up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have no nice way of saying it, because in a lot of the fights that I've seen him lose, he's kind of just been like, okay, I'm checking it out. Granted, he's lost to animals, but Ortega was a good one to look at. Ortega just beat him through grit. You know what I mean? But Yair beat the, like, also, like, I know it sounds like I'm coming down hard on Yair. Yair is one of those dudes that I almost never bet against, because I don't understand how he loses any fight.
Yeah.
He moves so well, so fluently. He kicks so dangerously. He's got such unorthodox strikes. So, I like it when the Bellator guys come over and the UFC guys show them the levels. I like it. Okay. I think that's exactly what this fight showed.
Yeah. It was very interesting from Pitbull, because he was standing at the worst distance to fight Yair. Like, he was standing right where...
In the entire time.
The entire time. So Yair was just smashing him with kicks. Pitbull wasn't really moving that well. But to be fair, this was probably the worst matchup they could have given Pitbull, right? In the UFC.
Yeah. Probably. But then this, like... But it also gets him in that mix. It's tricky. There aren't a lot. I don't think there are a lot of, like, good matchups for him in that real top tier right now.
Sure. Yeah. Right. It is a tricky one. And then apparently Yair said that Hunter Campbell promised him a title fight if he won. I just don't think it's fair after one win, and not that, like, there wasn't a crazy knockout or anything like that. I don't think he's just going to walk into a title shot with Volkanovski. I think he should fight Diego Lopez. But let's see what happens. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Next up on the main card, we have John Silva defeating Bryce Mitchell, choking him out. This was brutal, man. What did you think of the fight?
Mate, Silva, it looked like Silva was just, for one, Silva's crazy as hell.
Yeah.
Like, proper crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what it was. Bryce Mitchell just, like, Silva just beat him up, man. Like, I felt like Silva just controlled the entire fight. He was just like, he wasn't even going 100%. Does that make sense? Like,
he was, like, toying with him, man. He was, like, looking the other way and showboating.
Yeah, the showboating, the body language.
Yep.
And I don't know, Bryce Mitchell didn't really have an answer for it.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty brutal, and not just brutal, because the one thing that we said about Bryce Mitchell going in is that, you know, he has very, very good grappling. He has a great submission game. We saw that against Kron Gracie. But John Silva goes in there and chokes him and finishes him. We all know that John Silva has an incredible knockout power, right? But for him to do that so convincingly and then have Bryce Mitchell tap and then fall asleep, it was just like, whoa, like it was a nasty victory. I didn't think it was going to be that dominating, but
that
John Silva did.
That sort of choke comes on so tight.
It was beautiful, hey?
Yeah, it comes on so tight. And you could see Bryce Mitchell was in danger for the guillotine every time he went for a takedown.
Yeah.
Like Bryce was Silva was just looking for it. He looks like he's got the arms and the body language for like a good guillotine. He looks like a guy that can guillotine well.
Yeah.
And obviously he can, right? But yeah, I don't know whether Silva's right now, I don't know whether Silva's just that good that he can go 50% against Bryce and win in that fashion. Or if like the showboating, the confidence, the unhingedness kind of lends itself to that kind of aura. And I think it was off-putting for Bryce as well. Bryce just didn't look comfortable in there at any stage of the fight.
No. Yeah, it's. I guess people were joking that right now the fighting nerds have a bit of plot armor. They just seem destined to win. I don't think, though, I will say this, talking about, you know, John Silva's potential next fight, he did call out Diego Lopez. I think that's a step too much right now. I would like to see him fight someone. I think him versus Aljo could be good. We've got Lerone Murphy as well. Maybe even Pitbull. I mean, maybe, I don't know if we want to put Pitbull in that position.
There are a lot of good fights to have before getting the guy that just fought for the title.
I agree. Yeah. But let's see what happens. And finally, this one, I tell you what, like with the Volk win and with this fight in particular, this was such a feel-good main card for me. But Dom Reyes is well and truly back. He knocks out Nikita Krylov. Shades of Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo coming in, puts it on the button. What do you reckon, man?
Krylov didn't look comfortable, did he?
He didn't, did he? No.
Like, he never looked super comfortable in there, right? But he looked, super uncomfortable. He was really leading with his chin up. He was firing from well out of range.
Yeah.
And, mate, he was telegraphing every shot. Like he hits hard, but I think the nervousness of like the 2 years off and then coming up against a guy like it just really reared its head. And Reyes was just calm, collected, just moved away, found that chin and sweet, good night music sort of thing.
It is so good to see Reyes back in this position. Like he's legitimately now a top contender in light heavyweight. He could fight someone like Alexander Rakic. He could fight someone like Jan Blachowicz. Like he is in that conversation now after the skid he had against the loss against John Jones. Now he has three in a row. What would you like to see from him next?
Yeah, he definitely had it hard. Like I said, those fights, those really, really hard fights, okay, they take so much out of you. And they take something out of you that isn't quantifiable, okay? Yeah. And you saw those effects on his fights following. But he's back, better than ever. I want to see him fight a Rakic or old Jan. Yeah. Like I'd like to see him fight Ulberg.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's a good fight for Ulberg as well. Like it's two strikers. Ulberg's obviously one of the best strikers in that division right now.
Yeah.
And both guys win from that fight sort of thing. I take it back. I don't want that fight to happen because I like both the guys. Like someone has to lose. I take that back. I want to see him fight. What's his name?
Rakic.
The other guy.
So here's who we have. Number one's Pereira. Two is Yuri.
Yep.
All right. Three is Carlos Ulberg. Hill is fourth, but he's already set to fight Khalil Roundtree. Then you've got Jan and Rakic.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say, there's another guy I was going to say, but he doesn't push him in the direction that he would want to go. So Rakic makes for a good argument, or even just chilling until Yuri fights I mean the hill fight. I think chilling until the hill fight happens.
Yeah.
You know what? After mentioning Ullberg, I can see them making that fight now.
They might. And I don't think Ullberg, like his win over Jan was too close just to put him into a title shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yuri's still hanging around as well. So like how do you sort that out?
Exactly. And all these divisions, man, fight for Anchor Live, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it seems like they are going to be making. So light heavyweight's in a very interesting spot right now. Overall, bro, what did you think of UFC 314?
I thought it was excellent. Thought it was excellent. You know, I think like Dominus Reyes kicked that card off with a bang. I was so happy. Reyes. Following that with Bryce and that submission with the history that fight had behind it was so good. So good. And then to top it off with Volk leaving as featherweight champ once again.
Yes.
It was a good Sunday.
All is right in the world. It was crazy, man. I was actually flying home. I was in the plane, and they happened to have really good Wi-Fi, and I could watch everything uninterrupted. I was so bloody grateful, man.
And that's such a good thing to do in the plane because you can't be doing anything else.
Can't do anything else. I pretty much slept for like 6-7 hours, just trying reduce the jet lag. Woke up exactly on time to see this card. There were so many feel good moments, like the Reyes moment, Volk. I'm very happy for Pimblett as well, because Pimblett, I feel like he's still getting underrated. Like, I've been watching breakdowns and I love all of them, but they're like, oh, he's still not that good and da 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 da. It drives me crazy. You know,
I think that was a highlight. I reckon he takes my, you know, performance of the night award, my personal one, because that was a really good. But you know, Volk was really good too.
Volk was that was fight of the night, I would say.
Very impressed by Pimblett. I think fight of the night. Fight of the night.
What would you say, fight of the night over Volk and Lopez?
Well, no, like main card only, right?
Bangers
underneath it, but I could go like a. I was really impressed by Volk, you know, overcoming a lot of the self adversities, which is super remarkable. And then Paddy's performance was outstanding. Dismantled Chandler.
Yeah. Well, look, please let us know what you thought about UFC 314 in the comments below. Next up, we'll have the games news. Ubisoft is in the news. There's been a bit of a debacle going around with them getting sued because they shut down The Crew. I don't know if you ever played The Crew. It's a racing game. They shut that down recently, and a few players sued them saying, hey, we bought the game and now we can't play it. We're going to sue you. So it's no longer playable. This is the issue. The Crew was a purely online game, no longer playable. They supported it for a decade, but then they said due to server infrastructure and licensing issues, et cetera, they had to shut the game down. So the plaintiffs are essentially saying that they misled players by telling them they were buying a game when in fact they were just renting it and getting a limited license to access the game. But Ubisoft is trying to get the lawsuit thrown out, saying that players should never have expected to actually own the online copy of the game or the online game indefinitely, even if you purchase it physically. Now, as an aside, they actually have rectified this with other games like The Crew 2 and Motorfest, where they introduce an offline mode. So if those games were ever taken down, you'd be able to play it offline. But Rob, what do you think about The Crew and Ubisoft saying essentially, you don't really own the game and we've taken it down forever?
Yeah, never played The Crew, but you can't. There's no argument that can be made for buying an online game and then not being able to play it online.
Yeah,
like if the servers go down, it's like if WoW were to leave tomorrow.
Yeah,
you can't play offline WoW unless there's like you play like a private server, etc. I'm sure there's private servers for The Crew as well, but it's an online game. That's not how those work. I don't see them getting much success in this lawsuit. You know, otherwise.
Was it the case for WoW that there was like when they were looking to bring back vanilla WoW and there was a private server that I think they asked to get taken down or something like that? Do you recall anything like that a few years ago?
I don't. But I know there were heaps of them before WoW Classic.
Yeah, yeah. It is a tricky one because the solution that I would like, they did it with the Crew 2 and the other game as well. Now they need to just think about offline mode, whether it's from launch or at some stage adding it, because I get the frustration that this game that you were playing, you know, it's no longer playable, et cetera, et cetera. And offline mode will obviously alleviate that. But also as well, servers do cost money. Licensing music, and I'm sure the game has an in-game radio, costs a hell of a lot of money. And they're not shutting this game down unless, like, if there were a lot of players, they wouldn't have shut that game down. But the fact that they did probably says that there weren't that many people left playing the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. There's, yeah, it's just, no online game lasts forever, you know? And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. It is a sad one. Let us know what you think of the comments below about this, because part of me is genuinely torn. Like, it has never been the case, unfortunately. Like, when you buy a game online, you are buying a license to play the game. You don't actually own the game. Like, that's the reality of buying a game nowadays, even when you buy it physically. But I know that it sucks because we come from a time where, you know, you used to buy a physical game and you would own it forever. So I'm torn about this topic, man. I can definitely see both sides.
Yeah, I'm sad for the players because, like, there isn't a worse feeling than your game that you've dedicated time and that you love not being able to play it anymore. Like, the idea of, like, my RuneScape character disappearing or WoW character disappearing. It's super sad because there are people that live on those things. You know, it's like a lifestyle, not really a game per se. Yeah. But that's the harsh reality of online games.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It would be like, and like hypothetically, if down the line, if Minecraft was ever taken completely online, like offline, that would be so sad to me because, like, I do go back every now and again. I do go check it out. I do go see the things that I've built. And for that to just disappear, I empathize where people are coming from. Do I think the lawsuit's going to be successful? Probably not. But yeah, it's kind of the reality of games nowadays, hey?
100%.
So next up, what we're watching, playing, and reading. This has been a hard week for me to play anything because I've been overseas. But I've been watching a lot of stuff. But what about you, Rob? What have you been doing?
What have you been watching?
So I finally watched... Are you a Lord of the Rings fan, out of curiosity?
Yes.
I watched War of the Rohirrim, the animated Lord of the Rings movie.
Okay.
It was really good. It was really bloody good. It told an interesting story. And I'm not going to give away spoilers because you need to watch it for yourself. Just like the point in time that it was set, it was primed to tell a story like that. I want to tell more about it, but I don't want to spoil it. If you like the Rohirrim, if you like the squabbles and the war purely between men, it's really great. And it ended on, like, you know, really segueing nicely into the actual movies themselves. So I personally really liked it. Have you watched it out of curiosity?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I don't know. Like, I read The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And I watched, obviously, the three movies, extended cut, like 9.5 hours worth of freaking film, right?
You got to watch that once a year.
Super into Lord of the Rings, Warhammer. And I was into it. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't. I never got into The Hobbit and kind of any timeline. I don't really do things backwards very well. So any sort of prequels or anything like that, I just don't do well because I know where this ends up. I know what happens. And I really struggled to do those sort of things. That's why I never got into Star Wars, never ended up watching it because they brought it out in weird order and it did my head in.
Fair. I will say, though, this act, it's pretty standalone. Like, it's just an interesting story. I reckon it's worth a watch. You should give it a strong recommendation.
Take it under consideration.
You're not going to watch it, are you?
Nah, probably not.
And then the other, I watched actually a few movies on the plane. The other thing that I watched was like Jura number 2. That's very spoiler heavy, so I don't want to go into it, but that was a lot of fun. I was really into criminal movies and like, you know, thrillers on the plane. I don't know why. Everything else was boring me. I saw Gladiator 2 and I just didn't want to bother with it. And then I played a lot of TCG Pocket trying to climb up the ranked ladder. It's freaking impossible, man. It's so bloody hard. So much grinding. Like, to get from like Great Ball to Ultra Ball, it's just like you have to win like 500 to 600 matches to get to Master Ball. It's too much. It's too much for me.
Well,
so I'm done. I'm done. What about you, bro?
I have just recently gotten into Minecraft again.
Oh, speak of the devil. So
I played it ages ago. Played it ages ago. But because of the movie we watched the other week, my son's heaps into it. So I got him on the Realm. He's got a computer. So I got him on the Realm. And then I was playing with my dad. And then I got my brothers on. So we've got like a family Realm that I've had been paying for since Realms were out, really.
Yeah, nice.
And like, I've got my whole family on. So it was like me, my two brothers, my son. It was like generations of Whitakers on this world. And mate, I haven't played in like 10 years. There is so much new stuff. It is out of this world. Like, there's underwater stuff. There's more end stuff. There's new mountain biomes. There's bigger caves. There's new weapons, new armors. It's ridiculous. It's almost daunting. Like, I almost put it down sometimes just because I can't be bothered relearning everything.
You know? Yeah.
Especially
but
like
playing with your family. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's special. Although my son, like, he gets the shits because, like, we don't want to give him good stuff because he just dies and loses it all. He doesn't understand why we won't do that. And we're like, you're going to get mine. I don't think I said, like, you're going to get mine. Like, dig a hole and go get stuff. Like, go get iron.
Yeah, you're not allowed the diamond armor.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because my dad's actually really good at Minecraft. So as soon as we started, we just went straight to his house and just took some stuff, like started scabbing straight away. and like, I feel like it's ruined my son's expectation of how the game should play.
Right? Is it the case with Realms that it's online all the time? So like, your dad can play whenever he wants and you as well?
Yeah, Realms is permanent things. They're the Minecraft own servers. But
yeah. Dude, I remember back in the day with Minecraft, there never used to be Realms, so you would always have to rent a third-party server. The best times, man, you know, playing with friends who built a little city and town together. That was the shit, man. It was awesome.
Okay. I'm going to need to pause you for 1 second. Got to get my daughter.
Yeah, all good. All good.
1 second.
Oi!
Baby duties, but trying to film a podcast at the same time.
How old is she now, man?
1 and a few months.
Oh, she's still so young. Yeah, how's she been doing, by the way?
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah. Really good. Had a bad case of the flu, like probably about a month ago.
Oh, crap.
That ran through the house. I think everyone was going through it.
Yeah. But does she sleep a lot at the moment still?
No, we'll pass that.
No. Damn.
Especially with all the brothers and sisters. She just like feels like she's missing out. Bad FOMO already.
Oh, she's very cute, man. Do you want to do the viewer questions while you're holding it?
Yeah, let's get into the questions and we can wrap this up.
First question is from @BenLikesStuff. Question for Rob. What is the loudest crowd you have ever had?
It was that one in Melbourne. What arena is in Melbourne?
Acer?
No.
Amy? Amy? No, it wouldn't be Amy.
No, it's a smaller one. I forget what it's called. Top of my head, I just cannot remember it. I fought Derek Brunson there, but that was the loudest. Like, it's like the arena was built for acoustics. It was unreal.
Yeah. You've got it wouldn't be Marvel Stadium. It wouldn't be any of the open ones. It was a closed one, right?
Yeah, it was wild.
John Cain Arena, maybe?
No, it was so loud.
Yeah. No. How long ago was that? When did you fight Derek Brunson now?
2015, 14, somewhere around there.
Nice. You gotta fight in Australia again one day, man. Like, come on, let's line it up. Perth,
yeah,
Sydney, come on.
I know, I'm long overdue.
Next question is from @RainMan5558. Why is Rob always sipping from a huge water bottle? Feels like he's already cutting weight.
Yeah, I get thirsty.
But it's a massive water bottle, man.
It's like 2.5 liters. Like, I hate having to fill it up 1,000 times a day if I get one of those small ones. Like, I drink a lot of water. So
yeah. Next question is from @TryHardNinja1089. Have you guys ever watched the Cyberpunk Edgerunners anime, Rob?
No, I haven't watched it. I've been wanting to, but it was around the same time I started getting back into Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. But then I got into other stuff or something happened and I've lost that momentum with Cyberpunk at the moment. It's like still a game. I still haven't done Phantom Liberty. Like,
that's crazy, man. I can't believe that you haven't played Cyberpunk Venerably. I can't believe that you haven't played Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree yet.
Yeah.
There are some things like that you've just missed.
Well, it's just not that chapter right now. You know, it's not that season.
Mm.
Right now, it's Minecraft. Like, it's crafting.
Now it's Minecraft, yeah. What do you think is going to be next, out of curiosity?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm probably going to get back to a roguelike sort of game, like Caves of Cud.
I knew you were going to say that.
Like, yeah, it's been a while since I've had a good run in that. So, we'll get back to something like that.
Did I tell you, by the way, that viral tweet that ran around of the Caves of Cud community seeing you talk about the game and getting really hyped up about it? It went super viral. It was kind of crazy.
It is such a good game. I cannot recommend it enough.
All right. Next one is from @PWSLattery. Johnny, when are you doing press again for the UFC event? Would you go to Vegas for one? Look, it's not cheap. Even like going to the Australian ones, Perth or Sydney, I'm losing money going to these things. Yes, everything is tax deductible, but the money that I'm getting from the videos is not nearly enough. So it's very expensive. I'd only go if I was like going on a holiday and I swing by it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I just kind of wanted to address that because they're very expensive to go to, especially with like accommodation and everything at the time.
And the accommodation's through the roof at the time. You got to eat out because you live in Melbourne as well.
I live in Melbourne. So. Yeah. So, oi, by the way, I got super annoyed because I used to live literally right next or very close to Kudos Bank when I was in Sydney, right? And then I moved and then they freaking announced the event. I got so pissed off. I could have walked to the stadium.
That's how life works, unfortunately.
Honestly. And final question comes from @LastTrueLove512. Can we extend the game section, please? The MMA part is so long. I feel like there's much more video game discussion to be had. I wanted to bring this up because there were so many people saying that and then comments from like Richard Chamoon that was saying, could you stick to MMA? It's MM Arcade. It's a mix of both, you know?
Yeah.
That's the podcast. And
it's got to be a mix of both. It is, they are our passions. Like, we are passionate. Like, MMA for me is also kind of side, like, a part, like a job in a way. So it shares a fence with that. A lot of people can see I'm obviously very passionate about video games and I enjoy speaking about them because I guess it's much more free reign. Whereas when I start talking about MMA, it's much more directed. I'm very analytic to a degree. Yeah. And, you know, I guess I have to focus and switch on so much more for it. So I think we're in a healthy place for the cast. This is how the cast was kind of proposed. This is how we're running it right now. But
yeah,
I don't know. There's room for movement. We do want to expand this podcast. We do want more segments. We do want more episodes. We do want more like different types of videos. But you know, that's a subscriber sort of thing at the moment.
we're talking and making plans for some other exciting things as well. So hopefully those get over the line. But Rob, that was episode. There we go.
Wasp back.
That was perfect timing, though. That was episode 64 of the MM Arcade podcast. If you're watching or listening at this stage, thank you so much for your support. Rob, as always, closing thoughts and remarks.
Like we said, with all the segments that we want to, you know, increase and change and add to, this is all just based on, you know, building up the cast, getting the viewership, getting the subscribers to be able to kind of push into those fields and markets, you know, to be able to dedicate more time to it. At the moment, it's a passion project. And honestly, it's just, we're just given, like, we enjoy doing it. It's fun doing it. Yeah. But we also are very conscious of the fan base that we have grown for the cast and for the channel. So we're very thankful for you guys. We do it for you guys as much as we do it for ourselves. And if you are new, please sub, share it to your friends, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.